Welcome back to Talking Dairy, where we explore the most important topics on the minds of New Zealand dairy farmers. For more than a decade, Dairy NZ's annual Farmers Forum event has been serving up fresh ideas and options for those involved in farm business decisions or who have an interest in big picture issues affecting our sector. This year, we moved the forum online with a series of recorded sessions, and over the next few weeks and months, we'll be replaying some of those sessions on this podcast. First up is a rich and timely discussion on rural mental health and wellbeing.
Well, good evening, everybody, and a very warm welcome to episode 3 of the current Dairy NZ Farmers Forum series. Now, tonight's focus is something supremely important in our farming communities and pretty close to my own heart as well. It is rural mental health and wellbeing. My name is Rowena Duncan, executive producer of the Country Radio Show, former dairy farmer myself, and it is my honour to once again facilitate this evening's session. Now, Kiwi dairy farmers are increasingly under pressure with ever-changing regulations, acute workforce shortages, and all the complexities that come with a changing world. Sometimes it can be really hard to navigate while still making time for the stuff that matters most, including our family and our friends. So how do we manage the seemingly constant juggle and still feel okay? What is being done for us as farmers? And who is speaking up for us? How do we know if we're not in a good space? And who can we talk to? Well, tonight you'll hear from some well-respected people who are also all farmers on their experience and their insights. So first up, to welcome you all and set the scene is Dairy NZ Chair Jim Vanderpoel. He'll be followed by a guest speaker and author of The Resilient Farmer, Doug Avery. And finally, we have a great lineup on our farmer panel consisting of Wayne Yolo Farmer Langford, Loshni Manikam, and Neil Bata. Now, before we go any further, I just wanted to let you know that if due to any of the information that we discussed tonight, you do wish to reach out for some help and support, there are organisations available. So let's get into it. To briefly discuss Dairy NZ's views on rural mental health, including what's known about the drivers and the scale of the challenges, and also to outline the role Dairy NZ has in helping to find better outcomes for farmers, I'd like to introduce Dairy NZ Chair Jim Vanderpoel. Jim, how are you doing this evening, coming to us from Waikato?
Hello, Rowena. How are you this evening?
Very well.
Great to see you again.
Nice to see you. We talk so often on the phone, but it's great to see you in person. So without any further ado, I will hand over to you. The floor is yours, Jim.
Thank you very much. And I guess, firstly, I'd just like to welcome everybody for coming tonight. Now, this, as you all know, is a really, really important issue or discussion we're having tonight. So I guess before I sort of talk a little bit about why we're here tonight, I'd just first like to acknowledge all the speakers here. Like Rowena said, they're all farmers. You know, and they have a depth of knowledge and personal lived experiences when it comes to mental well-being. So I just really, really appreciate the efforts they're putting in to come onto the call tonight. As we all know, mental health is a serious issue in our rural communities. We are getting better at talking about it as a sector, but we still have a long way to go. And we hope tonight's session will contribute to a wider conversation. As many of you will know, there is usually no one single cause for poor mental well-being or mental health. It's usually a combination of a number of things, which is such as, you know, that slowly builds pressure until something gives. For farmers, there have been a number of compounding issues, from skill shortages, which leads to farmers overworking and as a consequence being fatigued, to a deluge of changing regulations. Then, of course, the weather and seasonal events that all farmers have to deal with on top of that. There is clearly a serious issue here that we all need to be working collectively to address. We all have a role to play, and no one person, government or organisation can do it alone. It has to be a combined effort. At Dairy NZ, we will do what we need to keep supporting farmers. But we also know we are not the best place to take the lead on this. There are others who are far more qualified to do that than we are. Organisations like Real Support Trust, Farm Strong, and Ag Proud. But we will continue to play a supporting role alongside these organisations and people, working with the government to help them understand the pressures, advocating for increased support, and drawing public attention to the issue. What DOEnZ will also continue to do is meet with key ministers in the PM's office and the PM, keep government agencies and, or talk to key government agencies as well, and keep running sessions like tonight. Not sure how many people have seen our view from the Cowshed survey results. Our 2021 report found that 55% of those surveyed said they or someone off their farm had experienced a mental health issue in the last 12 months. Our 2020 report had a similar sentiment at 62%. The leading causes that were identified were pressure from regulation, public perception challenges, and financial concerns. And these causes were the main drivers in both our 2021 and 2021 surveys. So the feedback has been consistent. And we also know, of course, that staffing issues now joins that group as a major contributor. Anyway, that's enough for me, and I will hand you back to Rowena.
Thanks so much, Jim. Really good to have that valuable insight. And nice of you to acknowledge the other organisations that are also working towards more positive outcomes for farmers. I really do love the way that this industry bands together. So thank you so much for your time this evening. I would now like to bring former farmer and rural mental health advocate Doug Avery into the discussion. So Doug will be a pretty familiar name to many of you. He has been doing incredible work in this space, not only here in New Zealand, but also all around the world, back in the time that we could actually fly places, but also via Zoom as well. Tonight, he's going to be focusing on rural mental health, as well as sharing his own personal story and his attempts to reframe the way that we view mental health in rural communities. Doug, fantastic to have you here. Thank you so much for getting out of your lycra. I know you've been up a mountain this evening cycling with your mammal friends, so nice to see you in a shirt.
You're awesome to be here, Rowena, and thank you very much to everybody for inviting me to be a speaker here tonight.
No, it is our pleasure, and I will leave you to take it from here. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's just awesome to be here tonight. And as you can see, I'm pretty reddened up here as I talk to you, because I have just ascended about 1,100 metres on my mountain bike. Today, I was asked to do some other work, turned it down. I said, no, this is me time. It's one of the great things about working into a resilient mindset is you learn that you need to be in the front line of your own journey and every other journey. There's an interesting thing. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Quite a few years ago, my inspiration, John Kirwan, came forward and said, I suffered from mental health. We couldn't believe it. How could an All Black suffer from mental health? From that time on, things have changed. I went over and spoke to the Hurricanes one day. The next day, a Hurricane hopped up and said, look, I've suffered from mental health problems as well. Tonight, I want to spend the 20 minutes that I've got wisely. I don't want things to carry on the way they've been. I want to change things. I see Sir John Kirwan is also going down the same journey. I want to change mental health so that we look at the opportunity. Because actually, the guy that you're looking at suffered 5 years of depression. I don't know how I got through, and I definitely wouldn't have without a beautiful woman standing beside my side. How the hell she did that, I don't know. But she did. And I think she's now grateful, which I'm pleased. But I can never replace the 5 years that I stole of happiness from her life. I didn't want to steal it. It just happened. Because I was a passionate male. I wanted to be an excellent farmer. But when God stopped supplying rain, I didn't have the skills. I was lucky. I'm one of those few people that's been saved. I feel saved every day. I feel grateful every day. Gratitude is at the heart of the man that you're looking at. I listened to a speaker a few years ago, Sir Thomas Frey. He came to New Zealand and he said, the future creates the present. I thought, that's a different way of looking at things. But I listened to what he had to say. He said, if you focus on where you want to be in the future, you will start to pull together the mindset processes that you need to make that journey happen. We live in a world where mental health is not going to disappear, it's going to increase. But the very point that I want to put to you tonight is, we all have physical health and we all have mental health. Some of you will be familiar with a thought pattern that if somebody is suffering from something in mental health, they're somehow kind of different to you. Do you know what? We all have mental health. 22 years ago when Doug Avery started on a challenge of change, people wrongly put me in the box that I was the loose and lunatic. They got the right bit about the lunatic process, but they failed to acknowledge that I was on a journey of mental recreation. I love to call it a spiritual awakening. That might be far too soft a language for some of you. But for me, it leads me to my next story. So Doug Avery is a storyteller. I've done 48 years of farming. I said to my wife one day, where was my gold watch? And she said, Doug, you had a patch of time where you didn't contribute much at all but shit. So what the hell do you expect a gold watch for when you haven't done that? So I'm probably never going to get a gold watch. But I want to tell you three stories before I finish in the 20 minutes I've got. The first story I've told and I've written about in my book, The Resilient Farmer, it's about geese. It's the story of geese. Geese fly in a V. They fly in a V for a very good reason. The aerodynamic advantage of having one person pushing the front creates disruption in the air, aerodynamic advantage, which gives every geese that flies in that formation 70% flying advantage. Ladies and gentlemen, 22 and a half years ago, I learnt to fly as a goose. I learnt to be a part of a greater formation. I learnt to stop being an ignorant young male who thought he knew everything, could fix everything, could work hard enough to survive no matter what happened. I became a goose. Do you know what? When you look up in the sky and you see geese flying over, they make a lot of honking. Do you know what that honking is? It's the lazy assholes at the back saying, keep flying, you good bastard at the front, I'm getting a free ride. But you know what it's more about? It's more about the people that are in the V that are saying, when you are getting tired, I'm ready to take the place. So we now live in a dynamic world. It will never be like it used to be. Yesterday is gone. The big vision is out the front window of the ute. The small vision is in the rear vision mirror. We as human beings need to adapt to the kind of process that we've got. My depression 22 and a half years ago turned to my opportunity. I don't know to this day how the hell I got that inspiration. But if the one thing that I give you tonight is, if you're not feeling great, turn around. But if you're feeling great, invest in resilience. When I talked the word resilience to Sir John Kirwan, he said to me, Doug, that's hard nut. When you're traveling really well, bank into the bank of knowledge about how you're going to go when it's not so good. Our lives are like our money banks. We put money in when it's good, and we withdraw when it's not so good. Right at the moment, I know dairy farmers are having an exceptional time with payout. But I'm also aware that for the last 10 years of my life, and I've spoken all over the world, everywhere I turn up, people tell me, thank God you've come now because we've got so many problems. Do you know what? The world is full of problems. They're going to keep coming. They're not going to go away. And if you want to be like me, in the cut that makes the future, and you want to be a part of the excellent future, which I'm really keen to do, you have to cut away from feeling that this is the worst time. You've got to see it as an opportunity as a start. I tonight want to turn the debate round about rural mental health to being an opportunity. The 5 years that I spent in depression taught me, Doug, don't ever go back there again. Be the guy that is investing in the future. Be the guy who is looking down the process and seeing where we can go. And so I've got two more stories that I want to tell you before I shut up. And I hope you enjoy these stories. I love helping people. And if there's anyone on this call tonight that feels struggling, if you can't reach out to Rural Support or anyone else on the list, Doug Avery's contact details are available right across the web. And I'll spend the time, whatever it takes, to get you through. I get people coming to me and saying, Doug, I can't believe the transformation in your life. Remember, I was called the loose and lunatic when I departed from that place. People will think you're crazy when you break that logical net. Will you help me, Doug? Will you help me to make a new future? And I'll say, sure. I love that sort of thing. I absolutely love helping people. When are you going to start? And they'll look at me and say, oh, Jesus, Doug. I'll start when I've got the confidence. And I say, you want to double the size of your farm, or you want to improve the profitability of your business, you're going to take on all this new learning and knowledge, and you think you're going to start with confidence? Piss off, you're not going to do that. You're just wasting my time and my space. And I'll say, oh, no, I'm sorry, Doug. What I meant, Doug, was I just need to develop a little bit more capability before I start. I said, really? I don't think I can help you. There are four C's in a set of work, in a set of change, in a set of dynamic change. I'm a man who's lived dynamic transformational change. I changed everything. I changed from being broken to a man who lived on top of the job. And they'll look at me and say, I don't understand what you're saying. And I say, well, what's the first C on a challenge of work? And they'll scratch their head. And I'll say to them, well, the first thing is you've got to commit. You've got to make a commitment to this journey. So I'll put it to you all out there. No matter where you are, if you're not prepared to commit to the future, you ain't got a show. Not a show. Now, this is supposed to be a mental health thing, and you're saying, well, hell, here's this guy being so bloody tough. Well, do you know what? I'm a realist. I'm an absolute realist. And I tell you what, if you think about the geese, they fly in a pack. The honking is people honking them up. When you fly and you get involved in a pack of people and you invite people into your life to form that V, do you know what happens? You start getting the nourishment into your life. I had a university professor, Dr. Derek Moot, on speed dial, and he helped me to learn to fly that V. It's an interesting thing. Then people start to look and think, well, yeah, okay, so I'm prepared to commit, Doug, but, and I don't feel confident and I don't have the capability. What's the second C? And I said, courage. And I know that every person that I'm looking at through this broadcast has got courage, but they don't know how to found it up to round it into a journey forward. So the journey forward for us New Zealanders, for us Kiwi dairy farmers, and I'm not, for us Kiwi sheep and beef farmers, is to not look back and ask why. It's to look forward and ask why not. It's to not be that person who has avoided the confrontation, but to engage in it. I mostly work in the rural sector with males aged 38 to 55. And the simple fact of the matter is most of those males have lost the plot about reinvestment into their own lives. And that is exactly what the man that you're looking at did. And you know what? And we had a practice session on this the other day. Neil Baitup said the five things that are involved in well-being, and he missed out mentioning one, learning. So if you think that you've got a golden life that is not needing to be nurtured and grown, well, good luck. But it's about breaking your vulnerability, accepting that you may fail. When you're young, you didn't even think about that. When you failed, you started to think about that. But as a bigger man, learn how to accept that vulnerability is the key to the most exciting journey you could ever have. And I think on that note, Rowena, I should pass back because I would love to have questions come in, and I've got so many other things that I would love to add, but let's see what happens. Thank you.
This is a miracle. I don't think in all the years I've known you, you have ever finished talking early, so you must really want to hear these questions. Look, one thing you did ask a few times was, do you enjoy these stories, or saying, I hope you enjoy these stories. I did not enjoy your geese story. I think you have ruined Canadian geese for me at duck shooting. Now, when I see them flying overhead and I'm trying to line them up, all I'm going to think about is
I want to tell you another story there. I was talking in the Orkney Islands in northern Scotland, and I told the goose story, and I said, this is the key to life. These are successful birds, and they do things really well. I didn't mention before that in my life, from flying a V formation, from getting other people that I needed to have to support me into the future in this wonderful, wonderful industry that we belong to, I got more than 71%. I got blessed. And so I want you to change your mindset. That's really what I'm saying. But when I was in the Orkney Islands, I said to them about the geese, and one guy stood up and he said, Jesus Christ, he said, we shoot 65,000 of those bastards every year and they keep coming. I want tonight to help you farmers learn how to keep coming. Even when it's tough, just keep coming. Being there, relentlessness is a winner. I learned how to be relentless.
Fantastic. Well, nice work bringing that story back around to another positive. Look, some of the questions coming through. Doug, we'll start with the first one here. What kinds of signs should we be looking out for in our mates to try and spot this stuff early?
Isolation, anger, self-pity. When I think about my 5 years in that time, it's an embarrassing place for me to be. It's the spur that has me sitting in front of you tonight. I understand what it's like to not feel that I wanted to carry on. But to anyone that feels like that, that's watching this, remember, the guy that's sitting in front of you, overcome that horror, and he went on to win the South Island Farmer of the Year. The last 22 years of my life, if I'd had the ridiculous situation to have not carried on and inquired, and that's why the geese story is so important. There are always people, everybody, who can find people to join their formation, that V formation, to support them through. I'm actually in the opposite situation now. I have a lot of people that want to join me and I don't really need them. And I have to tell them to piss off.
Oh, fantastic. I wish I could do that with a certain gentleman that I share a studio with sometimes. Look, Doug, another text coming through, and I must say I agree with this one. They loved the geese story, though. Plenty of ducks flying around at the moment in V formation. They've shared that. But they said, look, I got two of the C's, commit and courage. What were the other two?
The other one is capability. So the four C's is designed to make us great people. It's absolutely, it works whether it's your golf swing, whether it's your surfing ability, whether it's your farming ability, whether it's a whole lot. If you are in the mindset where you're not a vulnerable person, you can't move. You can't move anywhere because you're so afraid that if you do anything that you're going to be seen as a failure. The great change in Doug Avery was I saw myself as a failure. I recognised that I was, and I wanted to change absolutely everything. So you commit, you go into the courage stage. The courage stage is when you wake up at night and you think, my God, we've gone into this and we've done it too soon and we've borrowed too much money. At the commitment stage, you need to get your V formed. You need to have the people in your life that have got the capability to help you think it through. You need to talk about the challenges. You need to talk about the four C's. Now, when you're in that stage where you're waking up at 2 o'clock and thinking, shit, I've borrowed too much money, and I've bought 9 farms in my life. I never was entitled to grow a business like I have, but I did. And one of the things was I relied on this theory. I brought people into my life that could help, whether it was the rural support or whoever it was. When you're in that horrible space of courage, it's deliberately designed to birth your thoughts of what can I do? What do I need to learn to develop capability? When you're in the development of capability, that's when your brain starts to say, oh my God, I'm worth something. I'm really good. That's when your mental health goes into Zoom. That's when you start to feel, I've developed all these new skills. I'm a beautiful person. I'm okay. I'm not the useless bastard I thought I was. I'm doing things really well. And you feel confidence. And do you know what happens after confidence? There's the most ugliest thing that turns up that you've ever seen, a comfort zone. That's when you think you've made it. Because do you know what I want to tell you? The world is changing so fast that we have to run four sets of four C's over and over and over again. And I'm just trying to work out how I can ride as fast on the mountain with the muscle bike guys as I have to do with my electric bike.
Oh, we were so impressed until you mentioned electric bike, Doug. So impressed.
At least I'm out there, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, look, another text coming through menti.com to say, how would you suggest going about starting a conversation with a mate who's struggling, especially if you've never spoken about feelings with them before?
That's really hard. That's really, really hard. It's why I want to liberalise the thoughts that mental health is something that we all have. So every human being has mental health, and it's either up here or down. And we measure physical health. We say, oh, I could run 100 metres in 11 seconds. And then the next week you can do it in 10.5. I don't think that's true, but whatever. But we don't measure our mental health. If you don't measure things, you can't manage things. I'm a great fan of Tom Mulholland's Kind app. Get on the Kind app, it's free to farmers. Measure your well-being. Measure your physical and mental well-being. Start taking an interest in you. Because if you are not well, guess what? You're not going to deliver. You're going to end up being an arsehole of a husband or a piss poor partner or whatever. I'm writing a new book, and the book has got four basic pillars. Delivered from what I've seen out there, particularly since COVID happened. And those pillars are love. We all need love. I need to be loved. I'm a human being that needs to be loved. We need connection. We need connection. We can connect with other people. We need purpose. And we need hope. Mr. John Kerwin pointed out, we need hope. if you've got three of those things, you'll have a reasonable life. If you've got four of them, you have an awesome life. And if you're missing two, you'll be coming around and sitting on my couch and bursting into tears and telling me that I need help. Or you'll be going to rural support and saying, Neil, I need help. So let's motivate people to see buying into the mental health process, looking at it as an opportunity to grow, because the guy that you're looking at grew exponentially out of changing my mental well-being.
Another great message coming through, Doug, to say, look, how do you find your geese, especially as a young person in the industry?
I'm a passionate advocate of mentors. Mentors are a part of your V. Don't fly alone. So one of the things that we all tend to do, it's worse with us males, but it's also prevalent in females. We don't want to bother other people with our lives. I need to kick that to touch. I bother as many people as are prepared to join with me as possible. And as I said before, you progressively learn who to bother and how to bother. And when they say yes, and it's somebody who's got lots of capability, it's extraordinary. I've worked with a young guy in the Waikato who was suicidal. And I said to him one day when he was being a bit naughty, but I've spent more time with you than I've spent with my wife in the last year. But he's now on a new rocket ship. It's the opportunity in mental health that I love. If about six people hadn't spared their life opportunity with Doug Avery, I would have been a statistic 22 years ago.
Really powerful sentiment there. And look, I just want to add to what you said. I started off in the dairy industry, I think it was 2009, 2010, here in New Zealand, not from a farming background, had farmed overseas, but just going to everything, going to discussion groups, getting involved in the dairy industry awards, going to the Dairy Women's Network meetings and conferences, anything that is put on. John Kirwan came and spoke in Hawera, Westpac brought him down. It was amazing. And just sitting and talking to the person next to you, I think gives you a lot more connection within the industry as well. Doug, just two more questions really quickly for you. How do you help someone who is in a really dark space to reframe their mindset to something positive?
You can't help them if they don't want help. So people ring me and say, Doug, I've got a brother that's really struggling, or a husband. And I say, well, are they prepared to ring me? And they'll say, no, they'd never ring you. And I say, well, I can't help, sorry. And they say, but you must know something. And that's the horrible truth. You can't help people until they get to a point where they are reaching for help. Once people are reaching for help, and this is exciting news, a person like me at the school level that I've now got, I can change people to see the light in probably two sessions. But actually, that's the whole point of what I wanted to deliver tonight, is we need to move the challenge to growing skills to identify the problem before it happens. And how can we do that? The only way we can do that is when people assess mental health as being economically, socially, and environmentally as valuable as physical health. When us poor, useless little males who have such a big ego about our own capability recognize that actually we can break. And a lot of the people that I've worked with, particularly the last 2 years, have been incredibly resilient males prior to having anything ever going wrong with them. And the moment something went wrong with them, they were pathetic. And they will ring me back in 6 months and say, oh my God, I can't believe how valuable it's been investing in a resilient mindset.
We did have one more question, Doug, but we're not going to have time to get to it. But thank you. Thank you so much. You've done really, really well this evening. And it's been great having you as part of our presentation this evening. It's now time, though, to move on to our wonderful panel for more discussion. I would like to introduce our panel for this evening. We have got Wayne Langford, also known is YOLO Farmer. You only live once. That's what YOLO stands for. And I think it's one of the best mottos to live life by. He is the chair for Federated Farmers Dairy Industry Group and also a Takaka Golden Bay farmer. We've got Loshni Manickam, 2018 Fonterra Dairy Woman of the Year, Rural Women's Mental Health Advocate and Southland Farmer as well. And last but not least, Neil Bater, Chair of Rural Support Trust and Waikato Farmer as well. So welcome to everyone in our panel. Thank you all so much for your time this evening. And Wayne, let's start with you. You've hopped in the Hilux to get better coverage for us this evening. Much appreciated. Look, tell us a bit about why you're passionate about mental health and your YOLO journey.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ro, and a great presentation there from Doug. As much as I've been through, I'm still taking things out of his message and what he was with, what he went through as well. You know, there's so many things that are similar in my journey that Doug saw in his and the learnings. And as Doug was saying, if you can, you can jump on other people's experiences to grow your own, then, you just advance so much quicker. So, you know, I got myself in a bit of trouble as well. 4 or 5 years ago now. As it's already been said on the call, really, it's not really one thing. It was a multitude of things that all added up into, to me, and into a pretty dark and horrible place. Not very happy or funny anymore, and certainly not making the TikToks like I am now, that's for sure. Angry at the kids and not a very good husband and not making very good decisions on farm and everything, you know, all around that. So, we challenged ourselves to get out of that place. I say we because it has really become a journey for my family and I to come out of it. We challenged ourselves to do something every day to say that we'd lived for each day. And that's the journey we're on. I think we're on 1,803 days today and just absolutely loving it. It's been life-changing and we wouldn't go back.
You are an absolute inspiration. And your TikTok videos, well, that's something as well. Do enjoy seeing them, though.
That's one way to put it.
Loshni, we'll move on to you now. Fonterra Dairy Woman of the Year back in 2018. You are a rural women's mental health advocate. Tell us, though, why you're so passionate about mental health and what you took from Doug's presentation. Good evening.
Good evening, Raoul. Thank you. Lovely to be here. And, just really want to shout out to Dairy NZ for hosting this platform and actually platforming such an important topic, because it is something that I'm so excited about talking about. And there's probably maybe three key reasons why I am excited about talking about mental health in the rural space. And the first one is, like, for so many of us, especially the two gentlemen that have spoken already tonight, it probably did start for me as a personal journey. And it was about 2010, and I was in a really sweet spot, you know, a good, healthy marriage, 3 healthy kids, dairy farming. You know, we'd been making enough progress in our career that we were actually finally able to do things like have holidays. We had friends and, you know, we had a good social life. Everything was going really well. And yet there were times when I would suddenly pause and go, wait, is this it? Like, is this all that I get to do and be and have for the rest of my life? Like, I loved my kids most days and loved, you know, being married to Donald, loved living in rural New Zealand, loved being part of the dairy sector and everything that it gave me. But every now and then I would have those moments. And then it got compounded because then I would worry. I would think, wait, what's wrong with me? Why is it that I'm so ungrateful and selfish? Because I have so much to be grateful for. I had more than I ever thought I would ever have in my entire life. I never imagined having such a good life. So it's a really weird place to be. And the worst part of it all was feeling alone, was thinking that I'm the only weird farming woman, because all my friends seemed so happy and they had the same things that I had. So why was it that I felt that I wanted more than my family and my farming business? And that made me feel really, really selfish. But luckily for me, you know, I was able to find my way out of that. It was a journey. You know, it took at least 2 years to eventually realize that what was missing was I needed some mental stimulation. I needed to be working with people. I needed to be giving back. And eventually where I ended up was training as a coach and a facilitator. And I had a lot of joy from working with rural women. And I am speaking from a rural woman perspective because I think that, you know, like Wayne and Neil and Doug are doing such a great job of explaining rural mental health from a male's perspective that I'll just stick to what I know and I'll talk mostly about the woman's perspective. But I do think that we need our rural men and our rural women to be absolutely thriving if we want our industry to thrive. So, but when I was been working with rural women for the last 10 years, about a decade now since I started this work, it really knocked me off my perch when I realized that I wasn't the only weirdo, you know, lying awake at night worrying about wanting more, but also wanting to be a good mom and a good wife and a good farming partner and all the other roles that I had, because there are so many women that are struggling with similar challenges and lots of different challenges. So that's probably the second reason why I am passionate about what I do, is because I see that rural women are struggling, and so many are struggling on their own because they think they're the only one and they think there's something wrong with them if we are searching for more than family and farming. But the third reason I'm just so excited about it all is that I think that as an industry, we need to be vested in rural women because they are critical to the well-being of so many others. We play such a critical role. Like, you know, when Wayne talks, he always credits Tyler. And, you know, tonight we heard Doug talking and he talked about Wendy saving him. And you think about all the rural men in the dairy industry that may sometimes struggle. And because we don't yet have a culture where we can encourage our men and they feel safe to be vulnerable and reach out for help, the help that is available and we hope they we'd like them to be reaching out for, but because we're not yet there, like, who do you think ends up listening to that stuff? You know, 2 o'clock in the morning, finally a man might, you know, let his wife in or his partner in and let her know that he is struggling. So that role that women play, you know, most of the women that I've ever come across are very caring, nurturing women that love their partner, love their kids, and want to serve their needs. But we need our women to be in a good place so they can keep doing that. The same thing with our kids, you know, if we want rural families to thrive, generally women tend to take on that primary caregiver role. And so they're in such an important role to support our children and keep, you know, helping them thrive. And then with our farming teams, again, women are such culture keepers. You know, they're really good at setting culture around health and safety and looking after the well-being of our farming teams, as well as all the other roles we can play in our farming businesses. And our rural communities, women play such a critical role because generally we tend to be seen as the ones that have more flexibility than our rural men. And so we're the ones on the kindy committee, we've got the pool committee, and you're the secretary of the tennis club and you're at the toy library and you're doing all these things. And if our women are not in a good place, if they start disappearing from all these critical roles, there's such a negative impact on the industry. But what I love about what Doug is saying tonight is that he's talking about changes. Let's not see this as a problem. Let's see this as opportunities. And I think there's so much opportunity here for our industry, as well as our individual rural men, rural women, if we can keep supporting rural women to thrive. So that's the long answer of why I'm so passionate about this work.
Fantastic, Loshni. And I think, especially given yesterday was International Women's Day, it is so important to get that different perspective. And as you say, it isn't something that we talk so much about. We do tend to focus on men and their mental health and not so much have the conversations around women. Neil Bater, as Chair of Rural Support Trust, you see a lot of people out there that are struggling. You talk to a lot of people. But what is it that got you into this? Why are you passionate about mental health? And what did you take from Doug's presentation? Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. I took from Doug's presentation the geese, and I've heard that before. I've heard Doug a few times. I know Doug well. But you know, having a team of people to help through the process is great. I got involved with Rural Support in 2004. There was a group of farming leaders talking after a farming meeting, and we just talked about some of the pressures that were on farmers, particularly young farmers at that stage, And we looked at setting up something where we could actually provide free and confidential support to those farmers. Somehow or other, I got elected chair of the organisation, and I'm still there. So for my sins. But yeah, it's something that I'm passionate about. We've helped an awful lot of people over a period of time. You know, we see the people suffering from depression, those people who can't make a decision because, you know, they are depressed. We see people with anxiety, with having relationship issues, relationship in the workplace and relationship at home. And so, you know, we see those, and I really get encouraged when we get involved in there and we can actually help people to build a plan to go forward. We're part of the geese, and we can be one part, another goose in the chain, and we can walk alongside people and help them to build a plan and look to the future. And actually, it's really, really great that that we can work alongside and bring other professionals in if we need them to actually help and build that team to go forward, because we need to look forward. What's happened in the past is in the past. Let's actually look forward, and Doug talked about that, and yeah, I think that's really, really important. And there's a few tools we can use to do that. So that's how I got involved.
Fantastic. I love that story, and I think there are a few terrible ideas that have come after farmers talking after a farming meeting, but that is definitely one of the absolute crackers. What a fantastic story. Neil, we'll stick with you, because obviously, as I've already mentioned and as you've alluded to, you really are at the coalface. You're dealing with farmers. What do you see as being some of the drivers of poor mental health in rural New Zealand? What is it that causes people to reach out to you?
Yeah, look, I think Jim talked about them earlier on. There's work stresses. We're obviously short of labour. There's a whole lot of things happening in that space. There's just anxiety. There's uncertainty around weather issues, and we've had a lot of adverse events, floods, droughts, those sort of things. They all cause issues, and we get calls from probably men and women in equal numbers, which is great. We actually get a lot more guys calling us than we used to. In the early days, guys never called. But now I think from the work that Doug's done and the work that John Kerwin did and Mike King to normalise that it's okay to ask for help, we get a lot more of those people coming through. So that's what we're actually seeing out there. And there's a few things that people can do to help themselves. And, you know, the five ways to wellbeing are really important. The one I like is actually connect, talk to people, talk to friends, talk to family. But if you can't talk to friends and family, talk to a rural support trust. There's always somebody there at the end of the phone, and somebody who can come and sit down across the kitchen table and have a chat with you and help develop that plan going forward.
Fantastic. And I know with those five pillars to wellbeing, Wayne, I'll bring you into the conversation again now, because you've had a lot of experience with those as well. Do you want to talk us through that and also some of what you see as being the drivers of poor mental health in New Zealand?
Yeah, absolutely, Ro. So, it's great that Neil brought that up, because it has been a real, I guess, finding and learning curve for me as I've worked my way through the journey. Around the mental health pillars or whatever you want to call them, but if you list them off, there's gratitude, there's learning, there's connection, there's giving, and there's being active, and I always like to say, I was pretty much an All Black. I don't mean to rate myself, but that's just how it goes. So being active wasn't too much trouble for me, especially with the three boys as well. So we actually added an extra one onto our pillars, I guess, and that was around being proud of who we are and what we're doing, proud of our family, proud of our farming operation, and proud of our involvement in the community. And I guess that's probably why it's led to so much of my involvement within the community, both in Golden Bay and nationally through my work with Feds. So, you know, it's a massive thing to actually for a humble Kiwi to sit down and say, hey, what am I proud of? What am I doing in my life that I'm really proud of, and what are some of those things that I'm not so proud of, and how can I change them, and what can we do to make it better? Forever growing and learning and connecting, just as what Doug and Neil and Loshni have all been saying. You'll see there's some really common themes coming through tonight. So, yeah, I think that's probably it. I can't remember what you asked me to start with.
No, that's perfect. It was just also about what you see as being the drivers of poor mental health in New Zealand, Wayne.
Yeah, it's just really easy just to slip into that rut and to let those bad habits slip in. You know, like I've mentioned it, you know, I'm 5 years through my journey and it still happens to me. I still get just out of line with where I should be and what I'm doing, and I get overwhelmed and I stop making those decisions that I should be making, and I stop doing this and that and looking after my health and everything else. So it's really easy to do. So you know, anyone following along with my social media posts will notice that on the end of each post last night, each night I tag the mental health pillar which I feel like I've touched for that day, and it's a really good way of keeping a track of, you know, of that bank of goodness or mental health, you know, successes that you've had, because I think, as we've all shared tonight, you know, you'll have good days, but you have bad days as well. And so sometimes it's good to look back on those big days and go from there.
Fantastic. And I loved how you also touched on proud, because one of the people who I've encountered in my career in rural New Zealand who is very, very proud of the industry and wants to make others proud is you, Loshni. So we'll bring you back into the conversation as well. What do you see as being some of the drivers of poor mental health in rural New Zealand, or particularly maybe in the women's sector?
Yeah, that's such a good question, Ro, and it's such a big question. We probably, all of us, can't do it justice tonight. And, you know, like Jim started off, he said that it's, you know, we acknowledge that it's so multifaceted. And, you know, others have mentioned some of the more obvious things like environmental regulations, the pressure from farm worker shortage, etc. But I'd like to touch on something that I see as a bit deeper and probably more all-encompassing. And that I think that one of the big drivers that I see of poor mental health is the pressure that our culture puts on us men and women. And I'm talking about the culture of centering our farming businesses as the most important thing in our lives. And that may sound quite, you know, big and bold to say, but I think if you think about examples in all of our daily lives, that whenever we have things, you know, you may finally get a weekend booked to finally get off farm, you know, the whole family. And if something goes wrong on farm, what happens? You know, we all tend to just, we have to drop those plans because the farm comes first. And it worries me and it scares me about what we're teaching our kids, because they're watching us all the time. You know, when mom and dad are always prioritizing the farming business as the most important thing, you know, that sends quite interesting messages, not only to our kids, but also to ourselves, you know, because when you have a culture that is completely measures success by how productive your farming business is, and that's the only measure of success, then when we look at our farming men or the people that are on our farms, that are the farmers, farming men and women, when we look at them, we only see their value attached to the productivity of the farming business. You know, how many milk solids are you doing? How many farms do you own? How many share milking businesses do you have? You know, that constant pressure to grow and to build wealth, it's very much centered around that culture of only looking at our farming businesses as a measure of success. So it leaves no room for us to honor and elevate men that are wonderful, incredible dads. We don't elevate that as being a, you know, KPI of success. We don't elevate men that are wonderful farming partners or amazing bosses or, you know, wonderful sons that are visiting their aging parents or community members that are coaching all these different teams. We don't tend to talk about those things because we are only measuring success by, you know, how well's your farm doing. And similarly, when we have that culture around, you know, the farming business being the definer of success, then for farming women or those that are doing the other roles, you know, the ones that are like raising your kids or supporting the farming business or the supporting the farmer, we don't tend to get any value attached to us because we're not the productive one. We're not seen as adding value to the business and adding to the success of our farming business. I think that pressure really does not help our mental health. If we want to thrive, we have to see ourselves as more than our families and our farming businesses. I think most people, the foundation of our well-being and our happiness is our families and our farming business. But I think it's time to learn to start building on top of that because humans need more to thrive. We don't need to only be confined to our identities in our families and as a farmer. There's so much more. You know, when do we make time for those things like Doug going off on his mountain bike today, his e-bike today, or all the other things? Like, one of the things that I find so fascinating and scary about working with rural women is the guilt they feel about doing anything for self-care. One of my most popular posts in the Thriving Farming Women group is on a Wednesday, I will post a reminder for women. I'll say, hey, it's Water Wednesday. How much water are you going to drink today? And I will get women thanking me and replying, yay, thanks, Roshni. Just going to grab a bottle now. I'm aiming for 2 liters today. And I think we don't create space for women to even do the basic self-care because we are meant to always be working in our roles as farming mums, as farming wives, as farming partners or farmers. So, I don't know if that really helps, but I think the culture that we've got needs to change. We really need to be elevating all the parts of our identity, all parts of who we are as men and women. So all those parts of us get a chance to turn up in life because we are so multifaceted. We're not one-dimensional.
Roshni, you say I don't know if that helped. Well, there was a question that had come through that I was going to throw at you, but you've also just answered that. So really, really good insight from you there. Just moving to some of our questions, Neil, one for you. What are you actually seeing on the ground out there in our rural communities? Are things getting worse or are things getting better?
Yeah, certainly we're getting more calls. Some of that may be because it's now accepted that you can call the Rural Support Trust. And more people are doing it, but we are seeing more calls out there. And probably some of the calls are getting more serious. So, we have to apply ourselves to those. Doug raised a question earlier on about if somebody doesn't want to ring, you can't actually do anything. But I'd just encourage if you've got a friend who's really struggling, ask them permission to ring the trust on their behalf. And often people will actually take that offer up. And then that opens the door for us to then go in and have a chat with them. So that is an avenue to get around if somebody is really struggling. But, yeah, we are seeing right across all age ranges and genders, it is getting more serious out here at the moment.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point to raise there, Neil. Wayne, just quickly, one question for you and then we'll wrap. Look, how did it all start for you? How did you know you were in trouble? And also, what was the impact on your family?
Oh, geez, Ray, that's a tough one to finish.
There's no gimmies here, no easy questions.
I know, right? I know, tough. I would say I was struggling for 6 months or so. My wife would say I was struggling for a lot longer than that. Like I say, I slowly got myself into a place where I wasn't making the decisions on farm. I was I was not doing the things that I should be doing. Tyler had taken on the financials, of the business and had taken on a number of the other things. I was constantly ringing up the local freight company asking for palm kernel on a Sunday night type thing because I hadn't done it all week. And just the simple things were going wrong. Like I said before, I was grumpy. I was angry at the kids, and I just as they would tell us, I just wasn't much fun anymore. So We worked our way through that, and we did that through our own language and our own communication between Tyler and I, which was a hell of a battle. And then, like I say, on my 34th birthday, there was just something inside of me that said, you can't keep doing this. It's either one way or the other, and that's when we jumped out of bed and went to the beach, and the rest was history. So. It's one of the one of the hardest things you'll ever do is reach out and ask for help. It's, you know, we've talked about it all tonight about, hey, just talk to a mate or talk to a friend. Jesus, it's not easy to do. But when you do it, hell, it takes a weight off your shoulders and you'll be in a much better place for it. So, yeah, that'd be my message for tonight, really, is just, you know, get in touch with someone or help them make some decisions and help them out, because he might be reaching out to you too.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Wayne, and also to Wayne, Loshni and Neil, our wonderful panel. Thank you all just so, so much. You know, we've had some really emotional experiences there as well. You can see how raw it still is for you, Wayne, and that's just incredibly courageous in being able to share your story and your experiences to try and help people. So that brings us to the end of a very enlightening discussion this evening. It was great to have Jim share how Dairy NZ is part of collaborative efforts to work towards better outcomes for all farmers. Doug Avery, as always, came up with the goods there. So many takeaways from him. Last but not least, you know, the geese. I think a lot of us will take that with us tonight, but also investing when times are good, not just when times are bad, so that when, you know, you do start to struggle, as everyone does, we're not always up, things go up and down, but investing when times are good, putting something in that bank so you've got something to take out when you need it. That one was huge. Our panel really hit the nail on the head with some of their observations as well. It has been incredible to hear from five farmers tonight, farmers speaking to farmers. So just thank you all so much for joining us tonight and sharing your experiences. It is, as I say, a very courageous conversation to have. And I think also one of the key take homes for me is that doing something, saying anything, is better than saying nothing, because we do worry about making things worse, but often there's nothing worse than feeling alone and that no one cares. So once again, I'd just like to reiterate that if, due to any of the information we've discussed tonight, you do wish to reach out for some help and support, either for yourself or someone you encounter in your farming life, there are organisations available that do amazing work with trained staff and with volunteers in this space. So they are all up on screen now. Look, if you joined us late or you had to duck away for a while to put the kids to bed, don't worry. A recording of tonight's episode will be available in the next day or two. You'll find further information on the Dairy NZ website as well. Just search Farmers Forum Series. It is all up there. The next Farmers Forum Series episode is scheduled for Wednesday, the 20th of April. So stand by to receive an update on what that topic might be a bit closer to the time. I really do look forward to seeing you once again next time. I'm Rowena Duncan, and until then, ko marae, good evening and take care.
Thanks for tuning in to Talking Dairy. We hope you enjoyed the episode. If you'd like to check out more of our podcasts, go to dairynz.co.nz/podcast or find us on your favourite podcast platforms.